Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for The Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at The Viking Age, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, joining the show today is Luke Parrish. He has been on the show before, and he writes for us here at The Viking Age. So welcome back to the show, Luke.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back. Always good to hop in every now and again.
Yeah. All right, so a little over a week ago, Vikings cornerback Jeff Gladney turned himself into police after allegedly assaulting a 22-year-old woman. The alleged crimes he's being accused of are very disturbing, and if convicted, he could be spending 2 to 10 years in jail. Now, I actually thought the Vikings would have cut him by now, but as of today, Monday, Jeff Gladney is still a member of the Vikings roster. So are you surprised, Luke, that Gladney is still with the Vikings right now, and do you think it would be a mistake for the team to keep him around after what he was accused of doing earlier this month?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a surprise. I know a lot of people are going to argue, like, the first round, precedent that he has on him makes it hard to cut. But I mean, there comes a point where you kind of have to move on. You have to take your losses and do what's right for not only your team, but for the player, for the locker room, for all parties involved, for the victim. And I think, I mean, I guess you could look at it from the perspective that they're just trying to make sure everything's cleaned up and cleared and they have all the details, but him turning himself in definitely kind of leans in the favor of something did happen.
Yeah.
And he's guilty, at least to some extent. We don't know, might not know what that is yet, but definitely is a shock to see him still on the roster, especially with the draft coming up. And I mean, I guess maybe they're looking to, if they can't find the replacement, but that's not necessarily the right way to go about it.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I was thinking about it, you know, maybe we shouldn't be as surprised that he's still on the roster, because Holton Hill, he got those 2 4-game suspensions, and they still kept him around. Obviously, it wasn't as serious as what Gladney's being accused of right now. But then, you know, way back in the day, Adrian Peterson, 2015, he's accused of, you know, child abuse-related charges. And the Vikings still kept him around. Mike Zimmer was the coach back then, and they still kept him around. Now, obviously, Adrian Peterson was a much more accomplished player than Jeff Gladney is. But to me, that, you know, what you've accomplished in your career doesn't matter if you're being accused of those crimes, but, you know, clearly it matters to these teams because they've invested a certain amount of money and a certain amount of, you know, time into these players. So they feel like, you know, maybe we have to be 100% sure that this, you know, getting rid of him is the right decision. And you could look at a team like even the Bengals, who drafted Joe Mixon, who there's video of him just sucker punching a woman in the face, and the Vikings were actually a team who were interested in Joe Mixon before he was drafted. But I'm not as surprised. Do you think maybe knowing me, maybe me reminding you of those things makes it a little less surprising?
Yeah, I mean, the history kind of lends more of like credibility towards the Vikings not jumping the gun necessarily. I mean, yeah. I guess if you want to look at it like, yeah, you don't want to cut them and move on, and then it come out later that maybe it was not true or not to the extent of the accusation right now. But I feel like it's always
because they didn't cut Jaron Kearse either when he got in his little trouble.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings are definitely very hesitant, which I guess isn't always a bad thing. But I think in certain circumstances like this one, I think it's definitely, You gotta move on.
It's
headache.
Yeah, it's interesting because Mike Zimmer comes from a team, you know, like the Bengals, who were used to dealing with players who got in a lot of trouble, you know, like Pac-Man Jones and Vontaze Perfect and stuff like that, and he was able to kind of hone that down. And I think that you know, since Zimmer's been with the Vikings, they've been able to do a pretty good job of, you know, keeping out of the police blotter, at least compared to before he was there, when I think they like led the league in arrests. So it's definitely a lot better. But yeah, I'm just curious to see what they do with this Gladney thing now. Now, even if the charges are dropped and he ends up not being convicted of what he's accused of, Gladney could still face a suspension from the NFL. We've seen this other times. You know, look at Ezekiel Elliott. I think I don't think he was convicted of the crime that he was charged with, but he still faced a suspension from the NFL. So, thinking that this is probably going to happen no matter what, should the Vikings just use one of their selections in the first three rounds of this year's draft to be better prepared for Gladney missing a couple of games or more next season if they decide to keep him?
It's definitely on the table. I mean, obviously it's always going to depend on how the board falls, but if one of the top corners is there in the first round, like if Surtain gets there at 14, I would have no problem taking
him.
And same with Caleb Farley. I know he's got medical concerns, but if he slips and if they do trade back and pick up a second, they can get him either late at first, top of the second. I would take that as well. And that's the thing, like with Gladney, is they had him strictly playing in the slot. And I think Sonny McKenzie Alexander, now having Mike Hughes, who was probably not going to make the roster probably 2 weeks ago, going to be in a questionable situation. You can still keep him and have him playing in that slot as one of the extra nickels. And now you open up the draft where you can go anywhere on at cornerback. You can go outside, you can get size, you can get speed, you can go wherever you want. So that does open things up. I mean, I'm all for always taking a corner. You can never have too many. And that's Zimmer's philosophy. We all know. Everybody was mad that they took so many. And within the span of a couple of years, they had no defensive backs.
Right.
And I mean, if you stockpile guys now, because I mean, Patrick Peterson's only signed for 1 year.
Same with Mackenzie Alexander.
And so you can't just bank on one. You don't draft for just this year. You draft for most likely 4 to 5. And if you can find a stud and try to get him in the mix as a rookie and develop him like they did Dantzler last year, get as many bodies as you can, let the best guy come out.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that Peterson pretty much signed with the Vikings because he knew Zimmer could probably make him look the best, and then next year he could, you know, get a longer deal for more money somewhere else. I don't think Patrick Peterson is a long term option with the Vikings. I'm happy he's with the Vikings. You know, don't get me wrong, but I don't see him remaining probably past this year. You look at someone like when Darrelle Revis signed with the Patriots for that 1 year. And then I think he went to the Bucks or something after that, or maybe I had that backwards, but or I think he went back to the Jets actually. Shifting gears here. So last week I was actually off for a couple of days, so I didn't get to respond to this when it came out. But ESPN's Courtney Cronin released an article that stated the Vikings' success in this year's draft depends on them finding a successor for Kirk Cousins. It gets even better because she made it pretty clear that she didn't think the Vikings were going to be able to draft a top quarterback in the first round. So she thinks the Vikings should either trade into the second round or use one of their third round picks on a quarterback to replace Kirk Cousins within the next year or two. Now, Courtney does good work for ESPN, but I gotta disagree with her here. Quarterback, I feel like, is way down on the list of needs for the Vikings right now. So what do you think about her theory that the Vikings draft success this year depends on them finding a successor to Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Just the team is close to competing. I think they can definitely make a run this year.
Yeah.
I would more so look at their success in this draft goes to finding enough players who can make enough of an impact to carry them into the playoffs, carry deep, like how they got Justin Jefferson last year. And like they've added quarterbacks the last few years, either late in the draft or I know they got Jake Browning in undrafted free agency. If you keep investing in the day two, day three picks with the goal of them being the successor, you're not going to hit very often. It's very rare. You can bank on draft a guy in round
three. But Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. That's why I always hear.
I love that argument. I guess it's every single player drafted sixth round or later is the next
Hall
of Fame superstar. Mm-hmm. But I get the idea of wanting to add backups and add maybe light a fire on them like we saw with Jordan Love last year. But I wouldn't say you can predicate the team success based on finding Davis Mills in the second round because I just don't think he's that good anyway. So I don't want to go too off on him. But
I just think it's a kind of ignoring the fact that this is a pretty much a make or break year for Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman. You know, if they don't make the playoffs, those guys are probably gone. So they're not going to draft someone that might not even play when they're around. Like,
And even if they do draft him and something, and Kirk does go down, which he's, I don't think he's ever been hurt in his career.
No,
I don't think that whoever they draft is going to get that time. I would assume they're going to still give that to Sean Mannion if he gets brought back, or even
Stanley.
Nate Stanley, which again, not. Please don't ever let him see the field for the Vikings, but I would not be too worried about finding a quarterback, especially if with so many needs. I mean, there's still a lot of depth questions on defense, and you can look at receiver, offensive line. There's too many things where you would want to reach for a quarterback in round two or three and completely just ignore.
If you're not getting one of those top three quarterbacks, it's, you know, nothing against probably what Trey Lance, who's probably number four, depending on who you talk to. He's not worth, I feel like, depending on who's on the board at the time. Like, you got, I threw this out there today, like, if you got Penei Sewell or Trey Lance on the board still at after the first five picks, who do you trade up for? And I would go Sewell. Yeah.
Well, especially for this team. I mean, it's going to be different case by case, but the Vikings, I'm not going to reach for a backup quarterback.
Right.
I think Trey Lance is going to be able to start from day one in the NFL if he goes to the right team. And if he struts into action, I think he's going to be able to handle it. But you don't draft him at 14 and have him sit when you don't have an offensive line. You don't have depth at receiver. You don't have really any depth at linebacker. And you're just sitting here taking
defensive end. Yeah.
I mean, there's too many things to fix before you can even consider that.
So what would your reaction, though, be if the Vikings used one of their picks in the first three rounds on a quarterback?
Not great. I mean, if it's Justin Fields, I'll take it. I love Justin Fields. He's my number two quarterback. But that's only if he falls. I don't want to trade up for a quarterback.
Right.
But if he falls to 14, I'm taking that every time. I just don't think that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, he's not falling to 14.
Yeah, there's no way. If he gets to 9, I think Denver takes him. If not, New England's trading up to get him.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he gets that far. I think he might get to 6.
I feel like a dark horse might be the Eagles. On this.
Yeah, I think they're what, 12 now after moving back. So
are they 12? Oh, because they traded with the Dolphins. I forgot they're not at 6 anymore. And
they can move back up to 9.
Oh yeah, they can.
So yeah, I don't think he gets there. If it's any other quarterback in the top three rounds, I don't want it. I don't want Kellen Lamond. I don't want Davis Mills. I don't see it with them at all.
Who's the kid from Florida?
Oh, Kyle Trask, no way would I take anywhere in the first probably 4.5 rounds. So,
all right. So, the NFL is expected to pass a rule in the near future that would allow for each position group to have a much larger selection of jersey numbers to choose from. Some of the changes would allow running backs, wide receivers, defensive backs, and linebackers to wear some single-digit jersey numbers if they want to, you know, just like in college. So what do you think about this possible rule change, and is there anyone on the Vikings you would like to see switch their jersey number?
I think it's cool. It'll be weird because you've never seen that really in the NFL. It's an adjustment to make, but I mean, you see college guys, it's like tradition at certain schools. Just like, I think at Temple, if you wear a single digit, it means something. Different schools have, like LSU has the number 7.
Yep.
It's a tradition. So to see that carry over, I think that could be really cool. I could see potentially teams, like I know the Chiefs brought up that rule change. Maybe down the line, they turn that into something where whoever their captain is, whoever, they turn that into a certain number. Yep. I think that could be cool. With the Vikings, Cam Dantzler going back to 3 would be cool.
I saw Dalvin Cook. He keeps posting stuff on like his Instagram of him in the number four. So it seems like he might want to do that.
I know when he was drafted, I remember he was asked like why he wore 33. And he was like, well, I can't wear four. I want to do something different. So I'll just go with 33 because it's not a number many people wear.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, he's made it work. I just don't think that's not like a flashy number. It's like, I mean, you know. Nobody's like, oh, I want to rock 33 for Dalvin Cook. But if he's rocking the four again, it seems a little bit more flashy. Might help him out. I mean, I'd be cool with it. Same with like Alvin Kamara. I don't want to watch a running back in 41 who's not just some absolute tank running behind the line.
Not Mike Allstott, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a couple guys. Justin Jefferson would be cool. But
he was number two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Personally, I just think this is a sneaky way of the NFL to make back a bunch of money that they lost last year in the pandemic. Yeah. They're like, oh, let's just make a whole bunch of new jerseys. People will buy them, and they always do. They got the Color Rush stuff, and people always buy that. So I'm just like, how convenient. But yeah, I think some people are like, no, it's only for college. Keep it that way. And I'm like, it's jersey numbers. Like, who cares? It's, you know, like... It was just weird, like, a couple years ago to see a wide receiver in, like, the number 11. So, like, you know, eventually this is going to happen, too, because each team keeps retiring numbers. You know, there's only a certain amount of numbers that they can give.
Like, and then, can you split, have same number offense, defense? Can you, like,
I think the Chiefs, they did this because last year I think they had, like, three players wearing the number 30. And the opposing teams were like, hey, what's going on here? So they did that because people like to retire numbers and honor players, and I understand that. You know, the Vikings have, I think, like, they've retired Chris Carter's number and Fran Tarkenton, a couple other guys. They should retire John Randall's. They should retire Randy Moss's, but they haven't got around to that yet. Maybe they will now with these new rules, which will allow them to do that. But yeah, I don't have a problem with that. So just looking ahead to the draft in a few weeks, you cover a lot of this for us on the Viking Age. Go check that out. He does a lot of good work, a bunch of mock drafts and all that other fun stuff. What are your top four position groups you think the Vikings will be targeting with their top pick this year, whether it's in the first round or it ends up being in the second round or whatever?
Number one's going to be offensive line easily. I think it'll be whether they splurge and take a couple in the first few rounds, or I mean, I know that I assume they're taking one in the first round. I think they're going to probably look for that flexibility, either a guy that can play guard and center, guard and tackle,
yep,
play either side of the line, which I think Elijah Vera Tucker can be the guy that intrigues them the most. Wide receiver depth is big. I think that should be a lot higher than a lot of people talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I like B.C. Johnson. Chad Beebe does okay.
Thielen's getting old.
Yeah, and that's a thing. He's what, going to be 31?
32, I think.
32, so you can't have him forever. I mean, it's been a great story. He's been incredible for him.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you've got to get somebody else, get young legs, get depth. I mean, you can't just roll out with B.C. Johnson being your fourth down extra receiver who's not going to make the play. Or Tajay Sharp taking the fourth and one, whatever it was. Wide receiver should be up there.
Treadwell's still available. You know, they could go get him.
He knows his system. That's going to be the big argument. He knows the system. I love Treadwell, but he's not the guy. Cornerback's always going to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the nature of the team. I think they will target that at some point. And then I think safety's a big one. Xavier Woods, again, just 1 year. I don't think he's a guy who you can rely on necessarily. Like, I think he can be the starter. I think he can prove that. But I don't think you can just go into the draft thinking we have our starting safety next to Harrison Smith. If you can find somebody who falls, you've got to take him and at least make competition, make him work. And if not, you have a really good third safety. So,
yeah, are there guys available in this draft who can maybe either start out at corner and shift to safety or vice versa, where they can place both positions?
Ooh.
Worth it?
I know you've seen a lot of my stuff about Jamar Johnson.
Indiana?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm an IU guy, so I watch him quite a bit. But I know he played a lot of safety for them, but I know he can slide into the slot. he does very well as an extra corner if they need him to be. I think he can do. I think Javon Holland can be an extra nickel corner.
Is there a kid from Syracuse?
Oregon. Andre Sisco out of Syracuse is a good one.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a traditional deep safety, but he can come down into the box and get a hybrid linebacker if you want him to do that. Similar to Jaron Curse, just doesn't have nearly the size, but explosive player, plays the ball really well. And the safety class gets kind of discredited as being weak, but I don't think it's that's the case. I think you can find a lot of really like day one starting caliber safeties throughout this draft. So
yeah, I mean, what, Winfield was drafted second round last year, and he did pretty decent for the Bucks. Yeah, you mentioned wide receiver, so I'm gonna ask you, when do you think the Vikings will actually draft a wide receiver, and when should they draft a wide receiver?
I think they'll take at least one in the fourth round.
Fourth round.
I know they've got a bunch of picks.
Yeah, four picks. That. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll take at least one, maybe two there. If one of the big three falls in at 14, that's another one where value probably doesn't fit what they want. But I would take Jalen Waddle at 14 if Slater and Sewell and the quarterbacks are gone, and probably even Surtain.
What if Bateman's there?
It's questionable. Yeah. That might be a little bit too high for me, but I do. I mean, I think he's going to go round one. If they trade back and they get him in the early 20s, that's great. Yeah. But I think round three is probably like the highest they will take one, and I wouldn't hate that. Depending, I mean, I really like Yami Brown from North Carolina.
Yep,
I think he'd be an excellent pick for them. Great fit. But also Dwayne Eskridge out of, I believe, Western Michigan. I get all the Michigans confused. But
yeah.
Very good player to play the slot for them. So, I don't know. I think they go round four and probably add a few on day three, just to bring in as many as they can.
They don't have any seventh-round picks right now, but I'm sure Spielman will get some. Yeah, and then they'll get a couple receivers. Usually do that. What was the year where they had they got two receivers, I think, in the seventh round? Kid from Oregon, and then
they got Miami Dylan Mitchell.
Too. Yep,
and I think they signed Braylon Addison that year.
And the kid from Miami, who's the kid from Miami? I can't remember. He played. He actually played, or he might have been drafted the year before, with Rodney Adams. Who was the other guy?
Oh, Stacy something.
Yeah, Stacy Coley.
Stacy Coley. Yeah. That was the. I remember they the board of just receiver. Like, okay.
Yeah. None of them were through it. Everyone's like, oh, they got Diggs in the fifth round and Thielen was undrafted. All these guys are going to be good. And it's like, no, they're not.
Sometimes you just get lucky.
So who are some of the maybe lesser-known prospects in this year's draft that you really like that you think would fit well with the Vikings?
Offensive side of the ball, I really like CJ, I think it's Marable, running back from Coastal Carolina.
Okay.
Really like him as probably a round seven undrafted guy.
Yep.
Wide receiver, there's just so many to choose. I think Amir Smith-Marset from Iowa fits the receiving and punt return aspect that they need, because I'm really tired of watching muffed punts and no returns.
Mm. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's great. It's a nice little mood killer. Brady Christensen. The tackle out of BYU.
Okay.
I think he kind of fits more of that profile that they look for at tackle. And my big one defensively is Tony Fields, linebacker, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Really like him. It's like they're not going to.
Is he a linebacker or more of an edge rusher?
Linebacker, more of a traditional linebacker. Okay. Undersized, I think he's like 6'2", 220, something like that. But
okay.
Not a huge guy, but I think that they could implement him similar to what they would use Eric Wilson, just extra third body at linebacker, can stop the run, but is more just gonna be a coverage guy, which they need.
Eric Wilson, who was supposed to be better than Anthony Barr, but didn't get signed until 3 weeks after free agency began,
or nothing.
Yeah, woo,
superstar, I tell you.
So anyone else on the defensive side of the ball? Or any punters or kickers or returners?
definitely not punters and kickers. Never draft those.
No.
Returners?
No, do not.
Daz Newsome, another North Carolina guy, I think you can use him in a similar way as Amir Smith-Marset. Might be more developmental than you want. Josh, I'm going to butcher this name. Emota Torbebe. And more, I'm not going to.
All right, we'll go with it.
Illinois wide receiver. Okay, big guy. I think he's 6'2", 230-ish. High point the ball kind of guy. He's not going to be that returner type, but he's going to be that big body on the outside, which I think is what they wanted with Treadwell. It just didn't pan out. They've kind of been looking for that red zone threat. And then a tight end I really like is Pro Wells out of TCU. I think he's that receiving cut that they want. He fits kind of the similar play style that you get with Tyler Conklin. So if you need that extra guy to come in case of emergency, then you've got at least somebody with a viable skill set.
Do the Vikings have any chance at landing Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss? I like this kid a lot.
Man, I don't think there's a way, because they're not going to trade back and try to get him if they do trade back.
Has he moved up into the first round? Do you think he's?
I think he's very close. I'm going to assume he's in that 28-35 range.
He ran like a 4.3 something, 4.29 or something. Pro day. Pro day 40.
Which that's probably like a 4.4.
Whatever. It's still fast.
But yeah, I mean, he's skyrocketed. I mean, 2 months ago he was day 3 flyer, and it was like, oh, he might get into day 2, and now he probably goes top round 2 at the latest. He probably goes to Tennessee at 22 or wherever they're at. Then they get their Ole Miss guys with him and AJ Brown, but yeah, he's very exciting. I just don't know. I find it very hard for Minnesota to land him,
because I think he's like a super Chad Beebe. Like, he does similar things, but way, way, way better.
Yeah, which is good.
Because Chad Beebe can get open. He just can't really do anything after he gets the ball in his hands.
Yeah,
which is something that I've noticed Elijah Moore can do.
Yeah, very good after the catch.
Yeah, much faster and quicker. I'll get you out of here with this. Just how many quarterbacks do you think will be drafted in the first round this year?
I'm going to just stick with 4. Not buying the Davis Mills in the first round talk. I don't think Kellen Mond or Kyle Trask get up there. I think it might legit be 4 in the first 4 picks, whether Atlanta stays at 4 and takes whoever's left, or if somebody moves up to secure them. But I don't think any get through the top 10. And I think after that, then we start seeing a run on wide receivers and tackles. So
you don't think the dude from Alabama's getting drafted in the first round?
Oh, dude, I completely forgot about it. I wouldn't take him in the first round, but yeah, makes 5. Damn, yeah. I'll go 5.
Yeah, I was making sure. I'm like, I'm fine with it, because I haven't seen anything from him to be like blown away where he's
my comparison for him is Kirk Cousins, and
I've heard, and people are like, it's terrible. I'm like, it's not terrible.
That's not a bad thing, but it's also, do you take that top 5 if you can add and try to get another quarterback down the line? It depends on what you want. I mean, a team like Washington could use him because they're ready to compete right now, but a team like who's picking top 5 and isn't ready to win their division.
He's also like I feel like he's an older school type of quarterback where he's, I don't think he has a ton of mobility. From what
not outside the pocket.
Yeah,
fine in the pocket, but he's not going to wow you. He's not going to do anything. Doesn't have a crazy arm. Doesn't have, like, he's not going to run. He's not going to do much outside of being a good.
Is he a product of the Alabama team having all the best players in the world on their roster?
I think it certainly helped. I think it helped him more than it helped Tua.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I think he's still very good. I think he knows what he's doing. He's not going to sit here and, like, he's not going to blow you away with his arm. I haven't watched him enough to know, like, how well he is with his reads, but I know he runs the offense very well. And that's all you can ask for out of a young guy, but I don't know. I don't like him. I wouldn't take him in the first round if I had the chance, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Alabama's had success with guys in the NFL who are like strictly like pocket passers. It's been, if anyone's had success, it's been, I don't even know if you can define what Tua and Jalen Hurts have done as like success, but they look like they've already performed better than some of the guys, you know, like AJ McCarron and some of the other guys. Maybe I'm missing someone and I'm actually like wrong here, but I don't remember anyone else from Alabama blowing anyone out of the water. I might have seen some of them in like the XFL or the AFL, but or the whatever. What was that? The American Football League or whatever. I can't remember what it was called because it was like 3 weeks. It lasted for like 3 weeks.
Oh, the American
Alliance of American Football. Yeah, that's what it was.
Whatever it was. Yeah,
yeah, that wasn't going to be doomed as soon as they revealed their name. That's going to do it for us today. Luke, thanks for joining. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Twitter at @LukeParrish_NFL. I think Parrish with two R's. That's a big one.
You think?
yeah. @LukeParrish_NFL.
There you go.
I've changed it a few times. But.
Follow him. He's got some good draft stuff. He always posts what he's writing on the Viking Age. And speaking of the Viking Age, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, we will talk to you later.